Did you hear about the group of scientists who got together and decided that man had come a long way and no longer needed God? They picked one of their colleagues to tell God about their decision. The scientists informed him, God, we're at the point that we can clone people and we can do many miraculous things. So we no longer need you. So God listened patiently, and then he said, okay, great. And then he added, let's have a man-making contest. And the scientist replied, okay, great. And God added, now we're going to do this just like I did back in the old days with Adam. And the scientist said, sure, no problem. And he bent down and he picked up a handful of dirt. God stopped him right there and said, no. You got to get your own dirt. That's mine. Listen, this planet, everything on it, and everything else in the universe had a beginning and a designer. Who is that creator? Let's take a look at that. And first of all, let's consider the facts. First of all, Jesus is eternal God. If you're there in John chapter 1 with me, look at those first two verses. In verses 1 and 2, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. John opened up his gospel and his introduction to Jesus with the words, in the beginning. And this takes Jesus all the way back to the creation of the world. John is suggesting that Jesus existed eternally with the Father. Jesus is eternal God. John makes that clear, and he spends most of this book pointing out that fact, that Jesus is God. But Jesus also is God's agent. In verse 3, which is our focus for today, John said, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. What's interesting about this fact is that it's a statement, it's not an argument. John's not trying to convince us of anything. He's making a statement that everything was made through Jesus, and there was absolutely nothing made that was made without him. The Bible doesn't defend the process of creation. It simply declares it. It simply states it. Christianity has always believed in what we call creation out of nothing. The theological term is the Latin term ex nihilo, out of nothingness. Only God creates something from nothing. He made his own dirt out of nothing. The material that he used to create everything else, particularly Adam, he created that. He spoke that into existence. All things were made through him, it says, referring to Jesus. God's the source of all creation, but Jesus is the divine power that brought it into being. Everything owes its existence to Jesus, including you and me. Everything that you see, the stars, the planets, the sun, the galaxies, the trees all around us, the mountains, the rivers, the oceans, the flowers, the animals, all the people, all were created by God through Jesus Christ. That verse where it says, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Those two verbs, were and was, in the original language, are in the perfect tense, which means that it was an act that was completed at some point in the past. Creation is finished. There's no evolving going on, changing things from one form to another. Creation is finished. When God spoke it into existence, it was the completed reality, a completed act of God's. It says, without him, nothing was made that was made. John wants no misunderstanding. Not one thing has its existence that Jesus did not make. There is nothing in this creation that Jesus didn't make. Anything that man does, any creative acts that man do, we take the material that God already made and we shape it and fashion it into something else. But we're not creating anything. In our creative thinking, we're making things, but we're not creating them. We're using the material that God created out of nothing. Jesus is the creator. John is not the only one to acknowledge that. Paul testified to the very same truth. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, he wrote, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Paul includes in there all of the things that we can't see in the heavens, all of the angels, all of the order and authority that there is in all of God's creation, whether it's visible or invisible. Jesus Christ made every bit of it. He's the one that created it. Also in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, the author of Hebrews makes this claim as well. He says, God has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, Jesus, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Jesus is the one. He's God's agent. He's the one that made everything. But then consider the support. The question becomes then, is there any evidence to support those facts? If we're going to say that Jesus is the Creator, what evidence can we look at to just nail it down and support that concept? In other words, if Jesus is the Creator, there must be some parallels between what happened at creation and the works of Jesus during His earthly ministry in the New Testament. Jesus didn't come to recreate the universe from nothing, but there should be some parallel evidence that we can look at and see in the ministry of Jesus. And in order to look at that, let's compare four aspects of creation with the works of Jesus. First of all, Jesus created from nothing and or some existing materials. There's evidence of that. Creation involved God instantaneously bringing into being matter which didn't previously exist. He spoke it into existence. Creation also involved transforming existing materials. God created Adam out of the dust of the ground. God created Eve from a part of Adam's body. God created from nothing, and He also brought things into existence from other things that He had already created. Is there a parallel with Jesus to that? John chapter 2, the story at the wedding where Jesus turned water into wine. And that required the instantaneous creation of carbon atoms and chemical molecules that made up the grape sugar and made up the carbon dioxide, the coloring, and whatever else was necessary in order to produce wine. In order for God to change it from water into wine, He had to create stuff that wasn't there and make it into wine. In John chapter 6, Jesus fed more than 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and fish. And He did it again, feeding 4,000 with 7 loaves and a few little fish. Jesus either caused those original items to multiply, or after distributing the original food, He then created new loaves of bread and fish until everyone was fed. And then He had 12 basketfuls left over. That involved not just the creation of the appropriate carbohydrates, proteins, and other molecules, but their immediate arrangement into the complex forms that they became and the structures that were needed in order to make baked bread instantly. Not only did He create the items, but He also created them fully cooked and ready to serve. In John chapter 9, Jesus healed the blind man. That involved the instant repair of tissues, nerves, muscles, and whatever else, and the instantaneous growth or the regrowth of healthy cells. The result was the creation of healthy eyes to replace the non-functioning eyes. Jesus created from nothing or He used existing materials. Also, Jesus gives life. Creation involved the giving of life to otherwise lifeless matter. He even says at one point that He breathed life into lifeless things and they became living. Is there a parallel with Jesus? Jesus gave life to the dead on 3 different occasions. He brought back to life from the dead the widow's son in Luke chapter 7. He brought back to life Jairus' daughter in Luke chapter 8. And He brought His friend Lazarus back to life from the dead when he was already in the tomb in John chapter 11. In fact, in the case of Lazarus, the body had been in the grave for 4 days. It wasn't just a lifeless body. It had already begun the process of decomposing because his sister told Jesus that by now, 4 days, it stinks when Jesus said to remove the stone. So Jesus gives life the same way that God the Father through Jesus gave life in creation. Jesus also spoke and it happened. Creation involved God speaking and it happened. God said, let there be light. And there was light. God said, let there be fish. There were fish. Let there be birds. Let there be things that crawl on the earth. And they were. Someone said, that's really the Big Bang Theory. God said it and bang, it happened. God created everything with the word of His mouth. Is there a parallel with Jesus? In all of Jesus' miracles, He willed the event to happen, and it did. Turn to John chapter 4 and verse 46. It says, so Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where He had made the water into wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to Him and implored Him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. And the nobleman said to Him, sir, come down before my child dies. And so Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. And then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. And so the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed, and his whole household. Capernaum was 17 miles from Cana, which means that Jesus willed that sick boy to recover from many miles away. Jesus spoke it, and it happened. And then number four, Jesus received glory from His miracles. Creation involved God receiving glory. Psalm 19 in verse 1 reads, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. Well, is there a parallel with Jesus? Well, after Jesus turned water into wine, John wrote down these words in John chapter 2, in verse 11. He said, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested His glory, and His disciples believed in Him. When Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. But not only for the Father's glory, but also that the Son's going to receive glory. Jesus Christ is the Creator. Scripture affirms that during His earthly ministry. He did the very things that you would expect the Creator God to do. The question is, what are the implications of Jesus is the Creator? Let me just suggest in closing just a couple of things. Jesus is the Creator means that Jesus has a claim on all things. The news is, this world is not yours. It all is His dirt. Every bit of it. It's all His dirt. Everything in existence belongs to God. Everything. Even the stuff that we created from His dirt and we call it ours, it's still all His. One of the Psalms says that the earth is His and all of its fullness, even the people, even the cattle, everything. It all belongs to Him. It's not ours. Everything belongs to Him. What right do you have, what right do I have to lay a claim to anything in our possession since Jesus is the Creator and it all belongs to Him? Not only does Jesus have a claim on all things, Jesus is incomprehensible. Just kind of imagine with me for a moment. And this is how we can do it. National Geographic describes the expanse of the universe this way. They wrote, imagine the thickness of a sheet of paper represents the distance from the earth to the sun, 93 million miles, the thickness of the paper. And we're going to use that as our measure, as our rule. Using that scale, the distance to the nearest star is a 71-foot high stack of paper. The diameter of our own galaxy, using that measurement, is a 310-mile high stack of paper. And the edge of the known universe is not reached until that pile of paper is 31 million miles high. It's incomprehensible. God is incomprehensible. Jesus is incomprehensible. John wrote down at the end of his, you can go to the end of the book and read it. John said that these things were written down so that we can get to know Jesus some. He said if everything that Jesus did and said was written down, the world wouldn't be able to hold all the books that would be filled. That's incomprehensible. We just can't grasp that with our human minds. God, through Jesus, created all of that universe. Laminin, it's a protein molecule. It's in the human body. Laminins are a family of proteins that are an integral part of the structural scaffolding of basement membranes in almost every animal tissue. Laminins are what hold us together, literally. there are cell adhesion molecules. All the cells of our body, and how many millions and billions there are all held together by these little molecules of adhesion. They hold one cell to the other cell. Without them, all the cells would just fall down. They would fall apart. They literally are the glue that holds us together. Paul wrote these words in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. He said, all things were created through him and for him. And then in verse 17 he says, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. In another place it says that he upholds everything by the power of his word. Jesus Christ is what literally holds us together. Holds us together spiritually, holds us together in creation. How can we be so worried about all of our troubles, all of our struggles, all our frustrations, all the setbacks that we deal with from time to time, and even life itself? How can we worry about all that when we know that Jesus holds us together and is aware of every part of us, down to the very atom and molecule level? God, through Jesus, created the heavens and the earth. Jesus left his personal mark on all of creation. Has he left his mark on your heart? Do you know Jesus personally? Have you trusted in his finished work on the cross to save you?